Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I want to let everyone know today I'm going to talk about loyalty versus the lowest bidder in wireless. Mostly an opinion. This is my opinion of how things are going. You guys can chime in, let me know whether you agree or disagree. But first, I want to let you know, if you want to subscribe to this, I am on iTunes and I'm on Stitcher. And the other thing is, I'm putting together a scope of work training, which is going to be basically a video, and I was going to do a couple things, but video seems like the easiest way to do it. And what it is, I just go through the scope of work. I'll have a template and a book, an ebook and an audio book I'll put together a full package. That should be together soon. I actually finished it. I just have to package it, put it all together for you guys to download. Anyway, wanted to give you a heads up on that. That should be out soon. So today, I was reading a book the other day where they mentioned about how different people do purchasing, okay? What it is, and this is something I think I read it before, but they go over the different types of purchasing. In other words, what I mean by purchasing is some companies will stick with people they've worked with for years. They still have people bid against each other, but they stick with specific companies because of loyalty. And they found out that because of this loyalty, it can actually save companies money. Now, the other thing is the lowest bidder, where you just put it out and you let everybody bid on it. Normally, we have to do that to save money. Like government does that, and a lot of big companies do that because they have investors. And they just go to the lowest bidder. The one thing I did notice, like some government agencies, you know, that when they shortlist people, they do look at the history of the work they've done. And that's where the loyalty comes in. You know, now I know you want to get a break and be the first one in there to do work, you know, with a new customer, and you deserve a chance. So that's why this is a tightrope. But, I think if you do good work and have a good reputation and provide a good solution, you can get in there to do the work. You can do presentations and of what you bring to the job, you know, different things that you bring to the job. So anyway, I'm going over that, but I am also going over loyalty, because once you do a good job for somebody, it's much easier for you to get in and get more work. And that's something that is very important, because once you get the work, you have to prove yourself. You have to do the best you can. Now, with that said, sometimes you get in a little over your head, or you don't fully understand what the customer wants, and there are miscommunications, and sometimes there are personality conflicts. But anyway, I really think loyalty should play into it, and I'll tell you why. Because when you do a lot of work for somebody and you have that trust, you get to know each other and you get to know what they want. With that said, sometimes a contractor will continue to raise their prices for that customer because they know they have a better shot at winning. So that's why they continue to put things out to bid. So I've seen that a lot, you know. And then what some people do, they'll come in low and they'll do a lot of change orders. And when you do a lot of change orders, that makes the customer, well, it depends on what the change orders are, but it can make the customer very upset. The one in wireless, you see, you know, like with the carriers and everything, they put a lot out to bid. But I know, I think it's Verizon Wireless. They'll hire people back based off loyalty, people they trust. And of course, the investors get mad about that, because the investors don't care about quality as much as they do cheap, because they see that as their money going out the door. But the reality is, they don't look at the big picture. A lot of people just look at that bid up front. The big picture is the quality of work. That's what matters. You have to go back and fix it. You have to spend a lot of time with your people going out to troubleshoot it and find out what's wrong. That's where the loyalty comes in, because you know these people are going to do it right, and chances are if they screw it up, they'll come back and do it at no cost, no change order. That's what matters. So the exception is like broadcast. Like, I don't know how it is now, but broadcast used to be very loyal to its contractors. Now, they would have several contractors because they still had the bid process, but they stuck with the people they knew did good work, and they usually preferred the people they had a good relationship with. It really, really did matter. Whereas today, you know, companies are much bigger. The investors just want the lowest price up front. They don't care about all the extra work you have to do. I see a lot more with just contractors, but sometimes, you know, people will choose these systems let's say you have a billing system or an accounting system, just because they're cheap and they're a tremendous amount of work. So it's one of those things where you think you're saving $10,000 up front, but meanwhile, you have to hire three people and have three salaries to support this one system. You got to look at the big picture. That's when people can do a lot of due diligence and figure that out. That's a good thing. So with that said, it's amazing now that companies, they do have a list of contractors that they know are not good or don't meet their standards. So they will start eliminating people from the list. They also keep a list. They have lists made of acceptable vendors that are pre-qualified. Now, to get in, you know, everyone deserves a chance. So to get in, you're going to have the set minimum, the safety standards, the training, and so on. You're going to have to at least have the qualifications to get the job. And the idea is that you're going to have to show them on paper first. Now, if you win the job, then you're going to have to show up and do the work and do quality work. That's when it really matters, because you have to prove yourself. I mean, really, there's no other way to put it. You're going to be graded on the work you've done. You know, you're going to be rated or graded. You're going to find a way. That's normally the system. So when you get caught doing shoddy work, they're probably not going to have you back. Now, one of the problems is you have these people that do shoddy work and they don't get bids again. They just change a company name. They get back in and they get more work. You know, I don't know how to stop this. That's something that, how can we stop this? I mean, we have to do our due diligence, I guess, by researching the bad seeds. A lot of times there's a name associated with a company. So if you can figure out who's in the company, then maybe you can see this. So that's where, I'm not a big fan of blacklisting, but I can see where blacklisting is justified. And this is where loyalty and reputation come into play. You know, a lot of these companies have like an A team. They have some guys that are really good. And you always want those guys on the job. It does matter. You want specific crews on the job, because, you know, some crews do better work than other crews. And that's where you're going to see in companies when you have people go out and do work. Like, it could be one company, but they may just have good crews and bad crews. So your loyalty is now beyond the company, but down to a crew, a specific crew that you like. So when this A team is doing the great work that you expect as a customer, and you want them on all your jobs, you know, it's going to be hard, because the contractor is going to have this A team rented out to a lot of people. It all depends. You know, you're going to have your best team out there doing work for different people. So everyone's going to want the A team. That's just the way it is. When you have the other crews come out, they're going to do the best they can, but maybe they either don't understand what the customer wants, or quite frankly, maybe they're just not as good as the A team. That happens a lot. So what do you do when a crew stinks? And you know what I mean? You see it out there all the time. You have these crews out there that just do shoddy work. You know, the guys that put zip ties on mounts because they ran out of hardware and they won't come back to fix it because it's a 3-hour drive or maybe a flight. So what do you do with that? You know, it's amazing no one catches that in the closeout package, but you see it all the time. I mean, you guys are on Facebook. You see all the time pictures of these guys that come out and they take these pictures. I mean, it's just crazy what's out there. And thank God, you know, nobody gets hurt on some of this stuff. It's one of those things. And I used to see it all the time. Sometimes things just come loose. You see crooked antennas, or you see mounts that are loose. Sometimes things just happen in the wind, or somebody doesn't put a lock washer in or double nut something. That can be a problem too. You want to make sure everything's secure and tight, but sometimes things come loose. It just happens. But you go out, you do the best you can, you clean up what you can. So when you find problems like that, what do you do about it? Do you just sit there and complain about it and take pictures and post it on Facebook? Or do you write up a report and try to let the tower owner know about it? Doesn't do much good to let the customer know about it unless it's the same customer you're working for. Then maybe you want to take pictures back to the project manager and let them know, or whoever you're dealing with. Say, hey, look at this. You got problems here with your last crew that was out there. The only thing, one, I would fix it if you can. I know people get angry about that because they don't want to spend the time or money fixing other people's mistakes. But I guess my point is that if it's your customer and you're doing the work for them, you might want to just fix it, because that way you get future work. You know, it's brownie points, but you might want to be sure that your company didn't do it last time, Because if you have like a crappy team on your company, or if you're fairly new and you catch a lot of problems that they did last time, you might want to fix them and let your boss know. So just be aware of who did the work last time. It matters. Because if you're going to complain to the customer and say, these guys did shoddy work, and then you find out it's your company, that might not go over so good. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to bring your A game to the customer when they won't pay. So you know what? Loyalty is a two-way street. I don't necessarily... This is where you have the layers of contractors. Gets to be a problem. Because it may not be, say, a carrier or a broadcaster, but it may be a contractor that's out there just not paying people, and or sort of screwing them out of work. You know, they bring in one crew to do 3 days of work and another crew to do 1 day of work, and they only pay the second crew for the 1 day of work because the first crew didn't finish a job. Let me tell you, they're scum buckets. And if you run across companies like that, I wouldn't do work for them again. It sounds simple to me, but when you're making your living out there, you know, you want something, but you're probably going to ask for a retainer or something. And I know a lot of guys get screwed like that all the time. It's very common in the industry, the lack of payment thing. It's hard to prove because nobody wants to open up the books to show us. So what happens? You know, loyalty is a two-way street. Trust is a two-way street. So if you have a big contractor that's hiring for you and hiring subs for you, and suddenly they're having trouble hiring any subs or they have a bad reputation, you might want to look into that. And there's some big contracting companies. I got one in my head. I don't want to say their name, but they used to do scumbucket things like that. And I know I mentioned it before, but this is part of the problems with the industry. But what are you going to do? When, say, the carriers trust these big vendors to do the work, and then they screw over, you know, these small mom and pop companies by the dozens, but yet they get the job done. They keep finding people to do the work, which is amazing. We got to do something about that. So that's where somehow we got to get the word out when people are getting screwed over like that. Because when you're screwing people over like that, they're putting companies out of business, you know. The end customer suffers, the sub suffers, the people spend the rest of the time pointing fingers. That's why people get pissed off in this industry. That's why people get disgruntled in this industry. They just can't stand it anymore. There, you know, I knew guys, I interviewed PMs. They took great pride in not paying crews. They thought it was funny. It's those guys we need to get out of the business. It's those guys that we should never hire. It's just shameful. It really is. I mean, there you are taking food off somebody's table because you think you're doing the customer a favor or your company a favor. Listen, when people don't get paid, you're not doing anybody a favor. You know what you're doing? You're hurting a fellow person. You're hurting a fellow person in the industry. You're hurting another human being's family. This is their livelihood. So when you don't pay people and you put them out of business, it's not funny. It's sad. It's like I said, it's a shame. It's a shame it has to be like that. So again, trust is a two-way street. It is. We need to learn to work together, but we also need to learn to be fair to each other. You put all the onus on the workers out there for the safety and for the quality of the work. Meanwhile, if you have three layers in between, it's going to be not as clean as it should be. You have all these layers, you have all this margin that's being sucked out. So of course they aren't going to get paid much because you have layer and layer of margin just being sucked out. So if you want to save money, maybe just be fair to the worker. Maybe go right to the worker. I know project management's a big deal. It's very important, trust me. And it's hard to project manage these large projects. Trust me, I know it's a lot of money. You need a team and so on. And everyone has to be on the same page. But I got to tell you, there's going to be more and more lists of naughty and nice people that we have to work with. It's just the way it's going to be. And the one thing I learned, whether you like it or not, this industry is small. So what comes around goes around. It takes a while sometimes, and some people are good at dodging bullets. I'm not going to lie to you. But just like karma, if you're going to screw someone over, you're going to pay for it. Sometimes, like someone may be thinking they're working for a carrier when really they're working for a contractor, and they sort of blame the wrong person. So just be clear about who the enemy is here. The other thing, just because you're competing against someone in the industry, I see this a lot with tower crews and tower workers. there tends to be a kinship between these crews because they all know what they do for a living. And I know they compete on bids. Yeah, granted, there's competition there. But the other thing is you're going to help each other. You're going to give each other ideas. You're going to teach each other. Now, granted, you may want to not, you may not give out like contacts of a lot of your customers, but you can still help each other by recommending, you know, where you purchase something, how you do something, a technique, let's say how you handle a load or safety or training, because when you're doing all these things, when you're talking to fellow coworkers, you can be a complete jerk, and trust me, there's a lot of jerks in this industry, a lot of people that just don't give a crap about their fellow worker. But the other thing is, what about when you need a job someday? How's that going to go over? You know, I mean, it happens, people. The biggest problem is when you're both arrive at a tower at the same time, and I just happen, it depends, you know, who wins or loses. But usually, I know when I was doing work at a tower, we let it up to the customer. We would call back to the PM, and we were usually very fair in how we dealt with it. And in all honesty, those were mostly 1 or 2 day jobs. It isn't like we lost a lot. I could always pack up the crew and hit another tower in the same area. But it does happen, you know, especially with all these builds going on. You have all the carriers doing work. Now, I stick with carriers because it's the most common thing out there. I think the broadcast, they were probably like that with all the digital build out when they were converting from analog to digital and broadcast. But now I think most of that is behind us. I could be wrong, but I think quite a bit of it's behind us. Now they're doing mostly upgrades and changes. But back to what we're talking about here is loyalty. So loyalty, it's funny how it goes. You know, it's not only loyalty to between the workers, the contractor, the customer, and let's say there's a GC in between or a project management company in between. You're going to have loyalty between all those, but also loyalty to your fellow worker. So when you're out there at a job site, you got to do the best you can, make it as clean as you can. And you also want to identify how safe the tower is. So you want to let the whoever owns the tower, let them know how safe their tower is or how dangerous it is. And I'll be honest with you, I climbed a lot of monopoles that were just crappy. I hated climbing monopoles for a lot of reasons. You know, I mean, they're not the safest thing in the world to climb. They're hard to be safe. They're hard to tie off to. All that. You know, there's 100 reasons. But with that, if you could just let the tower owner know, and chances are they may say two things. They'll say, yeah, we're going to correct it. Or they'll say, yeah, we know. What do you want us to do? It is what it is. Not a lot you can do about that. But it's good for you to make notes for your fellow workers in your company or a fellow climber outside your company. Just let them know, you know, hey, this tower really sucks. Maybe it'll get back to the carrier and the carrier will stop putting stuff on it. I mean, really. With that said, location, location, location. When you're building out a wireless system, location is huge. You're going to take what you can get there. The site acquisition companies know that. That's why they're in business. They're out to find the best spot in the best area and find out the best way to get the permitting and everything done. So it's all something you need to think about. On a comparison, you know, people go to the lowest bidder. Would you go to the lowest bidder if you needed brain surgery or a heart transplant? I mean, it's just, you know, think about it. I mean, would you want the guy that does the best work or would you want the lowest bidder? You know, would you want someone in your area that has a good reputation that is known for doing this work? Or do you want the lowest bidder? Are you going to go, say, to Mexico to get this done? Is that the plan? You know, if you need health care, you're going to go to Mexico. A lot of people do because it's cheap. I'm not going to lie to you. It's out there. What about when you need a heart transplant? You're going to go down to Mexico or Latin America or somewhere cheap? I don't mean to bust on Mexico here. I love Mexico, but I'm just saying I think the standards here for healthcare are a little bit better. Anyway, I know it's a stretch for that comparison, but you know, in this wireless industry, we're losing lives, and that's what I'm trying to make a point here. You need quality, not only in safety, but in the work you do out there, because the next guy that's on the tower doesn't want anything to fall off on his crew or his people or himself. So I don't see wireless deployments ending anytime soon. I just don't. You know, we got a lot of builds. You got Sprint starting with their Sprint Spark. You got Verizon building with the LTE. You have the AT&T still building out, although AT&T said they're going to pull back. But you got new auctions, people. You got the auctions out there, more bandwidth, which means more builds. It's a trickle-down effect. You got LTE Advanced. Then you're going to have 5G, whatever that is. More speed, more data. Then you're going to have the decommissioning of the 2G and the 3G systems. It's going to happen. So the work's not going anywhere anytime soon. You're going to be busy for several years. And I just hope we can clean this industry up as soon as possible. It'd be nice if we just had, you know, no more accidents starting today. And we've been doing good. We haven't had any deaths in quite a few months. Now, there's still been accidents out there. You guys have been listening, but we haven't had any deaths in a while. So in the wireless deployment industry, we're looking at the big groups, for example, like NATE, CTIA, government, FCC. We look at OSHA. OSHA comes in after, but really the Department of Labor. We look at those for leadership, and now we have TIRAP that's out there setting an example for the climbing industry specifically. So these are groups that are going to set examples for us in safety and workmanship. And once you get beyond all the speeches and all the political agenda out there, here's what we got to look for. We got to look for content, 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 content. When Department of Labor came out with the Communications Tower website, that was content. When the FCC and the Department of Labor came together and created TIRAP, that was content. Content is king because it gives us something to align our safety and workmanship standards to. So it's up to now. Now what? Now it's up to each person out there to become the leader within their group, within their company. What do I mean by that? You should be the poster child for quality and safety for your company. You should make sure that every job you do is done to the best of your ability. Now, with that said, you general contractors and project management companies out there and customers, you got to pay your people. You can't come up with creative ways to screw them out of getting paid. You know why? Because quality is going to go down. You know why? Because you're screwing people. It takes money to be safe. It takes money for quality. You can't cut every corner. Trust me. I see customers all the time that cut corners only 2 years later to say, why'd we do that? Because now quality suffers. I see it in systems all the time. I see it in wireless systems all the time. People cut corners and have great regrets. They don't think things through. And then what do? They spend their money on a lot of other crap that just doesn't matter. You know, in the end, you want to have a quality system. You want to have it mounted so it's steady, safe. And if you have even point-to-point microwave for government, they don't want that dish up there wobbling. You know, they want that link to be up 100% of the time, 99.999%, the five nines. That's what they want. So back to you, the worker. All you can do to play your part in this is to be the poster child of safety and quality. This is your chance to set the examples of best worker that you can be, the safest worker that you can be, the highest quality worker you can be, and also have a decent output. Yeah, you got to balance all those. That's your job. So with enough people working hard to set the example, I'd say it'll catch on. I say it'll be contagious. And I say that's how we get the future leaders in this industry. I'm going to do a post next time about, I was talking to Richard Bell. I'm not going to put anything in this post, but that guy's amazing. He's 73. He's been a tower climber most of his life, owns a business, Bell Tower. Just a neat, neat guy. But the reason I bring him up, because that's what he did. And when you get on Bell Tower's website, which I'll put this out in the next post, when you get on Bell Tower's website, it's just one of the first things he has on there is a safety procedure. The guy lives by what he preaches. He knows a lot about safety, knows a lot about these cases out there. He's just a neat guy. So there's someone who's setting an example in the industry. Maybe I will put something in here because he's a neat guy. Anyway, all right, everyone out there, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing and set the example. Thanks, everybody.